I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Thank you for being with us on this Wednesday. Let's start today with a tweet, since that is the way President-elect Donald Trump seems to prefer communicating. Last night, Trump tweeted, quote, "The intelligence briefing on so-called Russian hacking was delayed until Friday. Perhaps more time needed to build a case. Very strange. Exclamation mark," end quote. The Obama administration response reportedly came from unnamed officials who were quoted today saying the briefing was always scheduled for Friday and that the intelligence community sees Trump's tweet as adversarial. In a separate tweet, Trump mentioned WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange and seemed to side with him rather than America's own intelligence analysts. David Priest spent his career in the CIA. He published a book last year on the presidential daily briefing called The President's Book of Secrets. Priest was a daily briefer himself for cabinet members under President George W. Bush. I asked him how morale is these days among his friends still on the inside.
I'm not going to comment on anything going on now because I don't have any insight into that. But I can tell you that this is the kind of thing that is simply unprecedented. We don't have any record of a president-elect going public with disagreements on intelligence assessments and waging this out in the public sphere. On Twitter is one thing, but just in public in general, this kind of thing has not been done before.
And would you agree with the White House that the intelligence community sees this tweet as adversarial?
Well, it certainly doesn't build a good relationship. And that's been the goal of all presidential transitions on both sides, is for the president to get to know the intelligence community and for the intelligence community to get to understand the preferences and styles and policy direction of the incoming president. And we're not seeing that at the same level in this transition.
Yeah, so how do you feel about President-elect Donald Trump's apparent refusal to hear or acknowledge the intelligence assessments about Russia's alleged attempt to influence the election?
I'd put one caution out there, which is we don't know what he has seen on this. As you mentioned, he is taking presidential daily briefs roughly once a week, if those stories can be believed. And there's no doubt in my mind that at some point in the last couple of months, many of those articles in the president's daily brief have referred to issues relating to Russia and to cyber intrusions. As such, he may have seen these assessments, and he may simply disagree with them. On the other hand, he made some judgments and conclusions of his own about the likelihood of Russian interference before seeing that intelligence. And so we still don't know exactly how much of it is a preconceived notion that he simply has not been convinced otherwise by the intelligence analysis he's seeing, and how much of it is actual disagreement with the intelligence.
You know, in the early 2000s, intelligence briefings brought evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq to the White House. Do you think the community is still smarting from that harm to the reputation of the American intelligence community?
There certainly are still lessons being learned, but that has been 14 years, and there was no shortage of self-reflection, of outside investigation, and many lessons learned on that. One of them, a very clear lesson, was that analysts are much better at looking at their own assumptions and biases going into it. That is, are they suffering from a confirmation bias where they have an intelligence judgment and they screen the incoming information consciously or otherwise to support that judgment, and they discard evidence that doesn't? Common human trait, but it's a lethal danger to intelligence analysis. The other lesson that came out of the whole WMD fiasco was being very clear with yourself as an analyst and with people like the president about your confidence level in the judgments. Thankfully, now the intelligence community routinely talks in terms of confidence levels. And I found it interesting that with the issue you raised about Russian interference through cyber intrusions, that was put out there with a high confidence judgment. That's not something analysts do often unless they feel very, very secure about what they have.
So how would you handle a president who is apparently skeptical of his own intelligence community's assessments and relies on people like Julian Assange?
Well, it is the job of the intelligence community to adapt to the president. It is not the responsibility of the president to adapt to the intelligence community. As a briefer, I had to adapt to the quirks and the personalities of my customers to figure out what is it I need to do to make sure that I express these intelligence judgments as clearly and effectively as possible, given their personal preferences and styles. The intelligence community is clearly doing that right now. at one extreme, that could mean producing the president's daily brief in the form of tweet-length analysis.
Are you serious?
Donald Trump prefers to have... Absolutely. If the president prefers to have judgments expressed in easy-to-digest short form, that's doable, and there is precedent for that. Going back into the 1980s for Ronald Reagan and even for George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton, parts of the president's daily brief were little pieces that were affectionately called snowflakes. And what they were a sentence or two just to give a very quick snapshot of something that was known or something that was assessed that didn't need a longer explanation. Well, if that could be done for an intelligence customer like Bush 41 or Bill Clinton, there's no reason to believe that that couldn't be done for a Donald Trump.
Final question, David. Does all of this suggest that even before it gets to the White House, Trump has created a divide with the intelligence community? And what happens if he doesn't repair that quickly?
Well, there is a divide now in terms of what's happening out in the public sphere. What we don't know is what's going on behind the scenes. A ray of sunlight, if you will, is that Donald Trump has said publicly that there are some very good people briefing him. So even if he's disparaging the analytic product and the judgments coming out of the intelligence community, he appears to have a good relationship with at least some of those intelligence professionals who are in New York to brief him. And I will say that is a step ahead of what previously were the darkest times for intelligence analysis with a president, which was with Richard Nixon. During his transition, he didn't take a single briefing.
Wow.
So as a default, the analyst sent to him copies of Lyndon Johnson's president's daily brief so that he could read them. At the end of the transition, they received all of those envelopes sent back to them unopened. It appeared Nixon didn't engage the intelligence product at all directly. At least we're a step ahead of that with this transition. That is hope that there is still a bridge that can be built despite the public disagreements.
David Priest, former intelligence officer and author of The President's Book of Secrets about the Presidential Daily Briefing. Thank you very much, David.
Thank you, Marco.